Father, come to you in Jesus' name, Lord. We just ask that right now you open up your word, Father God, to the people, Lord, that they might hear what you have to say, Father God, and that they might receive the word that you put on my heart this morning. And Lord, we just want to thank you for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name, amen and amen. As we all know, yesterday was the 4th of July. The funny thing about the 4th of July, you know, I'm sure that some of us went to the fireworks. I don't know where y'all went. I went to both Red, White, and Poppy and to the Grove City, not Grove City, but the Dublin fireworks. And, you know, some of y'all may went out with your friends, had a cookout or whatnot. But I was talking to my wife and I said, honey, what war was fought for the Independence Day? I said, what war was fought? And I, you know, you would think about it, and I never really thought about it. What war was fought for the 4th of July to take place? How many of y'all know what war it was? Tanya gets 100%. Got a history buff here this morning. It was the Revolutionary War, and I figured it out eventually. I said, what's the revolution, and so on and so forth. But so many times we participate in activities, and we have no idea what the history is about. People just popping fireworks yesterday. I was popping fireworks yesterday. Having no idea what that holiday or what that festivities was all about. But July 4th, history lesson for us this morning. I want you to pay good attention because it's very important that you understand this. July 4th, 1776, the Declaration of Independence was signed. America was stating it was going to be free from British rule. 13 colonies stood up to King George III, a king who made them a second-class citizen, a king who overtaxed them, a king who kept them from voting and failed to allow them representation. He was a greedy king who didn't really care about the 13 colonies, but just wanted the fruit of their labor. The Declaration of Independence was written to make a clear decision and the stakes of freedom and our liberty. July 4th, remember, is the day that America stood up and declared freedom. Now keep in mind, this freedom did not come without a price. It did not come on July 4th. Our freedom from Britain did not come on July 4th. King George didn't just say, okay, you 13 colonies, be free. Just do what you want to do. We'll go ahead and release our rights. No. The Revolutionary War pursued for 8 years. From 1775 to 1783, 8 years of bloodshed, 8 years of fighting for freedom. This freedom we have in America did not come without a price. We take for granted everything. If we weren't there, we just don't seem to get it. If we weren't there, I'm glad I wasn't born when slavery was around. For some people, to get that understanding better, they know what it's like to not be able to do certain things. But here in our modern day, we take so many things for granted. This morning, I want to bring back to remembrance what happened on July 4th and what the nation was like at that time. I'm glad to be born in America. I wouldn't want to be in any other country. How many of y'all want to be somewhere else? Our founding fathers knew something. Not our founding fathers today, but our founding fathers that founded this country, they had belief in God. They didn't believe in Muhammad. They didn't believe in Buddha. They didn't believe in Confucius. They didn't believe in any great scholar. They believed in the blood. They believed in the Bible. They believed in the Savior, Jesus Christ. This nation was founded on the Word of God. If you look back in history and see this nation began was back in July 4th of 1777. But in 1620, you remember the Mayflower, the Santa Maria, and the Pinta? Their creed was in the presence of God. That's how they started their documents, in the presence of God. In 1620, the first recognized constitution by Connecticut, it started out with, we profess the gospel of Jesus Christ. Among its strongest statement. In 1776, our Constitution as we have today states that we are one nation under God. And in 1771, get this, this is our country's history. In 1771, the First Continental Congress document declared that the Bible is the textbook for this new nation of America. That the Bible is the textbook for this new nation of America. When you look back in history and you look back at the things the first president said, it was all about God. In God we trust. In God we put our salvation. Without God we can't have a nation. And that's one of the reasons why they left Britain, because they knew that there was a God that wanted them to have free worship. Amen. But here's the problem today. The Declaration of Independence was also the declaration of our dependence upon God. And for 228 years, we have been the greatest nation on this earth, yet this is changing. This article that I'm getting ready to read you is quite short, but it was written 4 years ago by someone by the name of Greg Quinn. It says, "We as Americans boast in our freedoms to be anti-God and anti-human freedom. To us now, it is not that we can worship God of the Bible, but we have the freedom to throw stones at those that do. Freedom today is the value of pleasure over the value of living for the Creator who made us. Freedom today is to replace the Ten Commandments of God with new laws written by ungodly men to provide freedoms of destruction for our morality and for our nation. Freedom today places greater importance on the convenience of the mother than the life of the unborn child. Freedom today allows a vocal minority to strip away the moral majority the right to prayer in public places. Freedom today denies the freedoms of our children to openly pray to God in school. Freedom today changes our American history textbooks from which we were children are taught, and all indications on the foundation of this nation were fully dependent upon the God of the Bible being removed. Human freedom today is not as valuable as freedom for domestic animals. Penalties for abuse of animals are often more strict than abuse of children. Freedom in America today advocates the removal of under God from our American pledge. Freedom today allows one to burn the flag of our country that provides them the freedom to do so. The freedom that we enjoy today have turned our schools from places of learning to war zones in fear and unrest. Freedom today allows immoral judges to pass laws that spit in the face of God, an ungodly nation that once was America. Freedom today allows production of movies that are anti-American and draw masses that support the biased anti-American views during times of war. Freedom today, for the first time in American history, tells our children that we do not expect them to make it morally." Again, this article was written 4 years ago, talking about America that is not the America that it used to be. There was a time when churches were full, when going to church was, oh no. There was a time when God was everything in this country. And when God was everything in this country, everything was okay. When we put our faith and our trust in God, there was a reason why no wars, no enemies, no terrorist plots had existed for over 200 years. But as our country turns our back on God, the founder of this nation, God will slowly take his hand away, amen? So we have to learn something this morning. We must learn that King George is still out there. King George is still out there trying to enslave a people again. I want you to understand this and say this to your neighbor. We cannot make it without Jesus. We cannot make it without Jesus. I tell you, every opportunity and everything you see is someone attacking the foundation of Christianity. Someone taking yet another thing away. You can't say God bless America and churches and schools. You can't pray to God. You know why? Because the church as a whole has forgotten what our rights are. The right to preach the gospel. The right to heal the brokenhearted. The right to tell people about Jesus. Amen. We must realize that the word has been sent, signed, and delivered. And until we get with the program, we'll be programmed by the enemy. Amen. Amen. From the day that Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they stated their independence from him, and they went on their own way. And from the day that we declared Christ to be our Lord and our Savior, we stated our dependence upon him. Now keep that in mind. The first breakaway was Adam and Eve, when they deliberately disobeyed God and went and ate of the tree what God had told them not to. They declared their independence because their eyes were open. They knew the right and wrong. But the moment that we commit ourselves to God, the moment that we say the sinner's prayer and give God our hearts and life, we are saying, God, I cannot make it without you. Without you, I am nothing. And that is the way we are to always be, to have the attitude that without God, I cannot do anything, but with God, all things are possible. That I don't know about you, but 13 colonies, some 100 years ago, breaking away from a big old country that had the biggest neighbor that was there at the time, had to have faith, because what they did by all rights was impossible. But when you serve a God that can make the impossible happen, all things good will happen for those that believe. 200 years ago, there were people that believed in the Word of God. 200 years ago, church was the textbook. The textbook for this new nation. Now what is the textbook today? I wonder. We must realize, amen, that God wrote His word. He executed His word, and it is instituted today. I want you to read with me the Declaration of Dependence, as found in Psalms chapter 20 and verse 7. The Declaration of Dependence states this. Psalms 20 and verse 7. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of our Lord, our God. For they are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Psalm 29, save Lord, the King, He will hear us when He calls. Psalm 34, 22, the Lord redeemeth the soul of His servant, and none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Ye that fear in the Lord, trust in the Lord, He is their help and their shield. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear what man can do unto me. It is better, Psalm 118 and 8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in a man. Trust in the Lord, Psalm 3 and 5, or Proverbs 3 and 5 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. And in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. And the Declaration of Dependence states this, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you are free indeed. This is our declaration. This is our creed. As Christians, we have a right. There has never been a great nation without God. And the only way this nation will be great is with God. It's the right of the Christian to proclaim the good news. It is the right of the Christian to say, repent ye, therefore, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It is the right for the Christian to stand to the devil and say, not your way, but His way. Not what you want from me, but what God wants from me. It's time for some people to realize that the enemy is the enemy. I don't care if your name is King Devil. I don't care if your name is King Buddha. There's only one King Jesus. There's only one King, and we must turn our backs on anything that is not of God. That is our freedom. The freedom to forget the enemy. The freedom to let it go. The freedom to embrace God. A little over 2,000 years ago, God sent down His dependence declaration. You can find God's dependence declaration in those scriptures that I read, or you can find it in John chapter 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And did you know that 3 years later, on the cross of Calvary, God's declaration was sealed? Not with a signature written by hand, as our forefathers did, but it was written by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the words of His mouth. It is finished. On that day, the new covenant began. On that day, new children were born. And on that day, there were fireworks God-style. The earth began to shake, and the sun did not give her light. It didn't take God 8 years to win a victory for us. The victory was won on the cross. God's 4th of July was 3 days later when the stone was rolled away. The flag of dependence of God, or on God, was waved. You see, we have to realize something. The battle has been won for us. And we must, as a church, get back to the basics. We must put away false gods and choose Jesus today. Amen. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says this, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will hear their land. Amen. Our founding father is Jesus Christ. And He is still alive today. We must take His words and in the words of Michael, make this world a better place. You see, we have the right to preach. We have the right to be filled with the Holy Ghost. We have the right to love one another. We have the right to fear God and keep His commandments. We have the right to praise Him. We have the right to be an example. We must get back to the cross. Christians have faltered and have missed the mark. I don't know about you, but my Bible says that the judgment shall begin at the house of the Lord. Meaning that when all is said and done, the first people that God is going to examine is His church. Amen. Are the people that are to know what's right from wrong. And the Bible says that the righteous are scarcely saved. Where should the sinner and the ungodly appear? See, just as our nation has fallen away from the foundation that it was built upon, Christians, us, me and you, have fallen away from what God wants us to be. We're to be a city set upon a hill. We're to be ambassadors for Christ. We're to be apostles, teachers, preachers, ministers, people that stand in the gap for a hurt and lost and dying world. We must get back to the basics. We must understand and have our spiritual eyes open that when we see people, that we let them know about God, that we let them know about Jesus Christ, so that they also can have a dependence on God, that they can also realize their way is wrong and His way is right. Christians must get back to the basics. Back to the time when reading your Bible was more important than watching and reading the TV guide. Getting back to the time when prayer was more important than 1,000 text messages sent to your best friend. We must get back on our knees and pray and ask God to show us and ask God to teach us and ask God to put a fire underneath our bosom like John the Baptist so we can be out in the wilderness, because we are in the wilderness, and let people know that the Lord is coming soon. Do you know what happens to a nation when God is removed? Israel sinned for so long. For so long they sinned. And the Spirit of God finally had to leave. The Spirit of God hovered over Mount Sinai for years, giving the people an opportunity to repent, giving the people an opportunity to get right, giving the people an opportunity to make their choice for God. But continued rejection will cause God to leave. And when the Lord is gone, when the shepherd is gone, the sheep are open game. America is open game. If you have 9/11, we're open game. Because when the leadership leaves God, when we leave our trust, when we leave the captain of our salvation, when we leave His protection, we are open to the enemy. We must redeclare our declaration of dependence upon God. We must have the attitude saying, Lord, without You, I cannot make it. Lord, without You, I cannot go another day. Without You, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do, but as long as I have You, Your Word says, if I trust in You, You will direct my path. The Bible says that His Word is a lamp unto my feet, meaning that if we trust in the Lord, in a darkened area, in a darkened world, He can open it and open it so that we can see. Amen. We must have our dependence upon God. You see, Adam and Eve, they had it good. I don't know, I don't think y'all realize how good Adam and Eve had it. Imagine, sometimes I'll drive into what I call the rich neighborhood. How many of you have ever driven into a rich neighborhood? You know you're there. You know the signs when you're in a rich neighborhood. It ain't a car that got no rest on it. All the grass yards are cut. You might see a Mercedes-Benz or a Lexus. But sometimes I see these landscapes like I've never seen. Just perfect order, like something I can never do. Just flowers all colored and beautiful here and so on there. Adam and Eve had it good. God gave them the Garden of Eden. Every single thing they needed was provided for them. They had the trees for fruit. They had the herbs. They had everything they needed. But when you get your eyes on something that you're not to have your eyes on, you will cause yourself to lose God. There are some things a Christian is not to have their eyes on. There are some things that God tells you to stay away from. Do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Do not do this. For the day that you do, you will surely die. And there are many times in our life when God will give us a do not. Do not call that man. You know he's no good for you. Man, do not go to that woman. You know she is no good for you. Man, do not pick up that drug, because you know the day that you do it, you'll be back in the pit. There are many times God will give us a do not. You find yourself in the desert. You find yourself amongst thorns and thistles. You find yourself under the sweat of your own brow. You find yourself looking back at the life that you once had. And right now I have to look back at this country as a country that once was. It once was beautiful. Your doors didn't have to be locked. Criminals were scarce. But when you take God out of the picture, when you remove God out of a country, you allow yourself to be open game. Do you know how many Muslims are in the country of America? This is a Christian nation. But you know why things got so bad and why we're here today? Because Christians that knew the Word of God said nothing. Some little atheist. Well, I got to write a famous speech and I don't like Christians. I don't want my kids learning about God and and someone else chimed in with them. And instead of one Holy Ghost filled Christian putting them demons to flight, the enemies come in. And unless we as a church, unless we as a body of believers, get back to the foundations of the cross, we will find ourselves the next Sodom and Gomorrah. Do you know what killed Sodom and Gomorrah? Do you know what the leadership allowed in Sodom and Gomorrah? Homosexuality was rampant. Laws were passed, it's okay to be gay. It's okay to live that way. And we have leadership today. Adam and Steve, it's okay. And there's no rebuttal from the church. Don't you know that when you allow such sin, we allow the judgment of God? Because that's the only thing God can do. You know, it's funny that no warning was given to Sodom and Gomorrah. No prophet was sent to them. There wasn't a Jonah that came upon the shore of Nineveh. There wasn't an Ezekiel warning them. There wasn't a Jeremiah. Destruction came swiftly. God knew no prophet would make a difference because they had hardened their hearts in such a way that everything was okay. Everything is not okay, church. It's not okay to be the same way every single day as a Christian. If you're the same type of Christian you were 10 years ago and you ain't changed none, something is wrong, because the God that we serve is continually working and forming and molding us so that we are conformed into the image of Christ. I don't want to be in heaven and not see my family there. We must go back to the foundation. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. You see, Christians, it's time to take the authority in which God has given you. Imagine if a thief broke into your house and you had a gun and didn't use it. If I had the empowerment and the ability, you best use it. Amen. God has given us the right to change our environment. Do you know that? Let me tell you something about the power of God. God gives you the power to change your environment. What? What do you mean the Lord gives you the power to change the environment? You might be in a workplace where there's nothing but Muslims. They got their little cap on their head, and they're doing their little hamaha, whatever they do. You begin to praise the Lord and watch the devil run. You begin to start testifying of Jesus. God has not given us a cap to wear. He's not given us any gown to put on. You know what he's given us to prove that we're Christians? And the word of our mouth and by the testimony of our lips, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. You have some devils in your house? Inject the word of God. You got some problems in your life? Inject the Word of God. Take a little spiritual medicine. I don't know about you, but there was a stormy situation, and our Lord and Savior said, "Peace, be still." There are things that weren't right, but when the righteous one came, and when the right word came, said, "It is not, be thou removed," and then be thou removed. The Lord has given you the power. You got demons? He says, "Rebuke them in my name." You got a problem? If you ask for it in my name, it shall be given unto you. Anything according to my will. When you have Jesus so close, there is no excuse to fall backwards. There's no excuse to not be that city that's set up on a hill. We must reclaim our declaration of dependence and say, Lord, you know what? I made a mistake. I thought this president, or I thought this governor, or I thought this person knew what was best for me. I put my trust in them to make laws. I never checked to see what they were doing. I didn't know they had passed a law for gays to get married. I let that one slip, Lord. But I'm asking you today to forgive me of my sins and to open my eyes that I might see as you see and that I might respond as you respond. That is what we need to ask the Lord to get us back to where we used to be. Now, when I was in Bible college, I used to write these little songs and I just jot them down and said, backsliders, keep on sliding. Satan keeps on lying every day. You need to repent, turn back from your wicked ways. Go back to those Christ-filled days. But the point is this, we all need to repent. There's not one here, especially not myself, that has not gone the way of independence. There's not one of us here that said, Lord, I know what's best for me. There's not one of us here who has put in the garden when they made the same choice Adam and Eve made because we're stupid. But the dumbest thing to do is to not ask God for forgiveness. The moment we ask God for forgiveness, He'll forgive us and put us right where we need to be. But if we keep thinking that everything's okay, it's not. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. Let us be dependent upon God. You see, on Christmas, there's no fireworks for Jesus. The greatest victory that was ever won is being taken out of the history books. They changed B.C., which stood for years before Christ, and A.D. stood for after death. Don't you know they got to mean something else? B.C. before something centennial. They changed A, B, and B.C.
Common
error or something to that effect. Slowly, our kids won't read what we read. You won't hear about religion in school, but you will hear about Scientology. You will hear about evolution until we get back to our founding father. Not George Washington, but God Almighty. The Declaration of Independence written in blood on the cross of Calvary. Amen. You would stand with me this morning. You know, God does not ask much of us. Other than us is to put our trust in Him and be faithful.
I can only imagine.
If you need prayer this morning, if you need salvation,
when I walk,
if you need to reclaim your declaration of dependence on God,
I can only imagine.
Let us remember what Christ has done for us. Let not the cross be some history lesson that we've forgotten about over the years. But let it ring true that every day that we embrace, we know that He has set us free from the King that ruled our life and has given us all things to do. Amen.
Only imagine.
Need prayer.